Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Trad Tasman Talk. The date is Friday, April 24th, 2020, on Anzac Day Eve. I'm Tim Wilms. It is 6 p.m. here in Melbourne.
And it is 8 p.m. here in Auckland. And it is good to be back on the Right Minds YouTube channel. So we are once again streaming to both The Unshackled and Right Minds. So Tim will fill us in with a few more details there.
Yes, we're also on the Tim Wilms DLive channel as well. So we're back to multi-streaming. Hopefully the quality remains on the three different streams. But if you're watching on the Unshackled's YouTube channel, you can send through a super chat directly through YouTube by pressing the dollar button. And if you're on my DLive, you can send through a lemon or an ice cream, the cryptocurrency of DLive's platform. Though I just want to clear up, this wasn't on the agenda, but it's something that's really grinding my gears at the moment. There's been a lot of outrage overnight that Britain First and Tommy Robinson were banned from TikTok. And why are you outraged that an app owned by the Chinese Communist Party ultimately would ban Western nationalists from its platform?
And the fact that you're using TikTok to begin with.
Yeah, so I don't have a TikTok, the Unshackled doesn't. You don't, I assume?
You gather that I don't have a TikTok, huh?
Yeah.
No, definitely not. Install that communist spyware from your devices, people. In some good news, I just got a comment here saying that they love the intro music, Tim. So that wasn't on the agenda either. But is it James who did the intro music,
James
or somebody else?
He's the muso technical genius here. He does the intro for this, the Uncuckables. He sings the original Advance Australia Fair anthem, the one from the 19th century, and also the Wilms Front intro as well, music.
And if you're interested, he's got an album that he's trying to fund called
Logos Rising.
Yes. And so if you're into that, and if that sounds similar to Michael Jones has got a book coming out apparently with the same name. I just saw that they did an interview together today as well.
Yes.
So you can check that out. If
early,
you can.
Early morning, the author meets the musician.
So, cool.
He'd previously been on E. Michael Jones' Dear Bell Trans Wednesday live stream. So he's getting to know us all in Australia, E. Michael Jones.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I basically don't really watch much E. Michael Jones, but I know a few people who do, and so I thought it was worth mentioning to the audience who find that interesting and are tuned into that. So we have this week probably the first obvious item on the agenda is always going to be the coronavirus COVID-19 situation. So we'll get straight into that since we've got a few people tuned in already. In New Zealand, we are down to sometimes basically zero cases. Like yesterday, we had net zero new cases. This morning, we had, I think it was five. The day before last, we had two. And yes, so the five new cases today, only two of those confirmed, three probables. We're up to 1,456 cases. We have had another death from the Rosewood cluster, as they're calling it, which is essentially a dementia ward. This was a man in his 60s, is the first youngest patient to die, and the 10th from this particular place to die of the total death. So they are more than half, but nearly two-thirds of all deaths have been from this dementia ward.
Somebody just alerted me that it's not on DLive at the moment. I think I've got it. Oh, no, there's another error on DLive, so I'm not on DLive at the moment.
And hello to everyone else in the chat saying hello. Good to see you here and good to be back on the Right Minds NZ YouTube channel. So Tim's got that sorted out thanks to a generous fan of the show. And we I've also got it embedded on the BFD as well as usual. So anyone coming here from the BFD, welcome as well.
I'll give you an overview of Australia's coronavirus curve, which I've said it's flatlined. It's basically flat as a pancake now. We had 13 cases in the past 24 hours. We just had, it just broke now, we just had another death from coronavirus, which brings our total to 79. So we have we've had 6,667 confirmed cases in Australia. We've had 5,095 recover. That's more than three quarters now, and we've conducted 474,000 tests, and the positive rate is now less than 1.5%, and it's getting to the stage now where basically anybody who thinks they may have coronavirus can get a test now. So that's how widespread the testing has become.
Basically the best, I believe, Australia's top or second highest in the world for running tests. New Zealand is now finally catching up, not too far behind. But in terms of the metrics, per capita metrics, we're just basically tied or slightly behind Australia in many ways. We obviously have the far more serious total lockdown, essentially a form of house arrest for everybody in the country. And yet, our approach is being praised by the media and by, you know, the overall propaganda that's being put out. But in reality, countries that are doing something vastly different, like Australia, are actually doing even better than us by many metrics. The whole flatten the curve thing has disappeared because there's no curve. There's nothing.
I've said this before, but I do watch a bit of international news, including CNN, and when they talk about good responses to the coronavirus when compared to Donald Trump, who his latest suggestion today was inject yourself with, what was it, cleaner?
Yeah, that's how it was reported. I saw some, I didn't follow through on either that or the response, which is to say that he didn't actually say that, which, as you can imagine, is something so bizarre that only if you believe that Trump is a mentally deranged buffoon would you believe that he would seriously suggest something like that. So I'll see if I can find, I've actually got the full, right here in front of me. Fact check, no, Trump didn't propose injecting people with disinfectant. That's from Breitbart. So that's what everybody had been claiming, obviously. But he was talking about how, sunlight, disinfectants, et cetera, could kill the virus. I'm guessing the usual way in which Trump speaks is absolutely hilarious, and I love that it triggers everybody.
Yes, and it's not surprising that I haven't seen the raw footage myself, and it was good that our chief medical officer, Dr. Brendan Murphy, he was asked about it at the press conference after the national cabinet meeting, and he's like, "Well, I wouldn't recommend doing that," but I haven't heard the comments myself. I'd have to check them myself to see what he actually said. But based upon what you've said, no, that's very toxic. Injecting yourself with disinfectant, which was an excellent, I think, response there from a non-politician.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's good. I believe you're a health minister. I've heard some people mention that you're all a health minister. Your chief medical officer is considered by at least some people who I know who are following various different ones in different countries are saying that they believe the Australian one is the best in terms of the in terms of his press conferences and the way that he answers questions and the information he puts out. Our very own Ashley Bloomfield is also highly praised here in New Zealand. As far as running the show goes, he is, nice and calm. It's been remarked in the last few days that Jacinda is starting to get a bit snappy with reporters. She's not overly overly pleased with the kinds of questions that she's getting. A little bit now. Maybe temporarily, because they've just got a $50 million bailout. So all the legacy media are basically on the verge of bankruptcy. And if they're nice enough to Jacinda, they might get a couple of $1 million apiece. So we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that she would get quite triggered by difficult questions, which she rightly should be getting asked those, because it's had the one of the heaviest, strictest draconian lockdowns in the Western world, and Australia is doing better. What I was getting at with the international press is they praised Jacinta Ardern, but they never mentioned Scott Morrison at all, even though Australia's achieved a better result with a less severe lockdown, which, as we talked about last week, means that KFC's not even open.
And you can never let the truth get in the way of a narrative. That's the way the legacy media operates. So, as you mentioned with KFC, that's what the country has been told. That's going to be their reward. Their reward for being good, well-behaved children will be that starting Monday night, I believe, or possibly Tuesday, we'll be allowed to order a KFC and have it delivered to our homes. So, well done, everybody in New Zealand. We're very excited about that.
Is there more than KFC? Like, have you got a rundown of other?
So the level 4 to level 3 change is going to be that any business that can operate without contact of customers, so contactless commerce in terms of deliveries or even pickups, is allowed. So all of the takeaway places can open up. Theoretically, restaurants can open up if they're doing delivery or, even pickup is theoretically allowed. So a lot of different stores are opening up. So even the gun stores I saw are opening up as well, even though hunting will be allowed on private land. So I think in some of your states in Australia, you have your gun stores closed for whatever reason. So in that regard, we're for some reason going to be slightly more open than you. But in terms of everything else, it's still more restrictive than what you guys are at the moment. So that's our big thing is basically takeaways and anybody that can afford to do deliveries of whatever goods.
Fixing my hair for people in the
Got a
chat
hair
aren't
problem.
happy about it's I'm letting it grow, as I said last week. I'm letting it grow out during the lockdown, because getting a haircut for me is quite a big task at the best of times. So it's mainly just sort of, yeah, keeping it down.
Very good. I'm checking in. I've got obviously got to keep both the chats open. I was going to mention if you do want to distraction from the coronavirus news, which we'll try and get through in the first half of the show, do send through some super chats. You can do that on the Unshackled channel, and I see the first one's just come through. But that's the place to go if you want to ask us questions or make comments that are either related to the coronavirus and the economic devastation. And if you've got anything else to say, that's the place to go and make sure your comments get read out.
So I've got a first super chat here from, I'll have a go at pronouncing the name, Origin Adamantus.
Pretty close.
Pretty close. Tim, could you get yourself a full-flavored Coke Not Zero and recognize Jesus Christ as your one true path to salvation? So in terms of the full
And
strength Coke is way too sugary. That puts on the pounds. It is, I would say, it's a miracle that they've been able to formulate over the years a, because they used to have, what was it, Coke Z, no, Diet Coke, that basically tasted like some sort of, that did take like disinfectant. It's pretty awful. Though chicks seem to like it, so it's now known as Chick Coke. So they introduced Coke Zero, which tasted a bit more like a normal Coke, and then they reformulated Coke No Sugar to replace Coke Zero. So they've gotten better at this this artificial. I can't believe it's not full strength sugary Coke. And in terms of Jesus Christ as your one true path to salvation, the other half of that salvation is that believing in God. And I still don't believe it's possible that there is a God who created the earth. I just don't believe that's possible. So that's why I
We'll
don't
work on that.
recognize.
We'll work on that, Tim. Thank you for that. And you didn't read out the amount as well. He gave you $7.77 as a symbolically significant number there. So I thought I'd better point that out.
Oh, yes. Wait, what is it? What's the significance of it?
Well, seven is the number of perfection. So he gave you 3 times 7. So he gave you the perfect number.
Oh, thank you very much. And we just got another super chat just then from Diana Marsden for $10. Thank you, Diana, but you didn't put through a message there.
I have got a message here from her from like 15 minutes ago. She said, "Hey, dude, Kiwi here watching from Melbourne." So if you welcome, and if you'd like to actually have Tim read something out, go and post there.
Well, she is, even though Daniel Andrews is our premier in Victoria, and he seems the most eager to keep us locked up, he talked about, oh, we're definitely going to go to level 4 lockdown, and that changed from, oh, we probably won't have to, oh, but we might. But now we have the chief health officer today, Brett Sutton. I don't know how Daniel Andrews let him say this. He said that I don't think there'll be a second wave now of coronavirus. Ooh. It's now about suppression and elimination.
Not towing the party line anymore. it's good. And there's still lots more talk about the Trans-Tasman trade routes being reopened sometime next month. So yeah, that's those sort of discussions are still simmering. I believe it has been said that the Kiwis in Australia, if you lose your job, you don't get welfare and et cetera. So you might be in a spot of bother if you do get hit by the coming financial recession / depression or total economic collapse or whatever it's going to be. You may need to find your way back home. Who knows? Although the Kiwis who can afford it likely will be jumping across the ditch, which is usually what happens. So lucky you, Tim. Unfortunately for us, that's just the way it works.
Yeah, that's what happens when you go back on the road to serfdom.
Yeah, exactly.
I noticed that Simon Bridges, the National Party opposition leader, is getting a bit more vocal about ending the lockdown now. He's not just being
he did praise Australia. He sort of agreed with, you know, oh, we're going to be united, et cetera. He didn't push back early, and now as there was talk going on about extending the lockdown, he wanted it to end after the 4 weeks. So he made a Facebook post saying Australia's doing better than us in many ways. There's no need to extend the lockdown. We have to end the lockdown now. And then he got hammered by hundreds and I think 1,500 in the end, comments being angry at him, telling him that he was not patriotic and that he shouldn't be criticizing Jacinda, and now's the time for unity and not to complain about
now
Jacinda's doing.
Now is the time for politics to basically question.
And polling numbers have shown, various polling surveys have shown apparently that most people actually are enjoying the lockdown to a certain degree. I mean, some of the questions are super vague, like, is your relationship with your family stronger? And you know, most people would say yes to that, but that doesn't necessarily mean people are enjoying the lockdown. So I think a lot of the polls and surveys are specifically skewed to suppress dissent and to make it seem like everybody's very happy. But I suspect the majority are, because a lot of people are just getting a paid holiday where you've got the wage subsidy and most people are just sitting at home being paid. The real pain is going to set in the next couple of weeks, where people will be maybe starting to go back to work, allowed to go back to work, and a lot of these businesses are saying, look, we haven't had any income for 4 or 5 weeks of this lockdown. Then this, if we are on level 3 for another 2 weeks, then you're up to 7 weeks, 8 weeks, and then maybe they can open. And by the time they've got customers coming in again, you're getting close to 10 weeks before their first paycheck comes in. And if that paycheck is then 20% of what they were earning before, then how are they going to be able to pay their staff? And that's when the wage subsidy ends as well. So that means that we're halfway to the point of mass layoffs, essentially. In places like Queenstown, we're already looking at up to 30% unemployment. Throughout the rest of New Zealand, we're going to see something similar happen, where once the free money stops coming, and they may find ways to keep the free money coming, there's that point where people either are too shy to spend it and then everything stops. Like they're acting like they can just turn things back on. Hey, we switch the economy off, and now we're going to switch the economy back on. And they're going to learn the very hard way that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I've already seen when I have gone out of the house for essential purposes, the open for lease signs at empty shop fronts are already there, and they're not just going to be filled just like that. Because every day that the lockdown continues, there's more economic wreckage that is occurring. And I think that's why, as I call them, the lockdown lovies, they just love the economic destruction, because
they don't get it yet. They will, but they don't get it yet. They think they're just having a holiday.
I'm talking about those who are advocating lockdown for they say 6 months. It's we're seeing now we were told in Australia we would only be in lockdown when the curve so that the curve would be flattened. So our ICU beds wouldn't be...
Yeah, and the hospitals are empty.
Yes.
Like in New Zealand, I mean, as well. GPs are going bust. We talked about this last week. Hospitals are still empty. We're now here, 5 weeks of empty hospitals.
We've got 45 nationwide in ICU and only 30 on ventilators.
Yeah.
Because you recall that not everyone in ICU needs a ventilator, because Boris Johnson was in intensive care but wasn't on a ventilator.
And in New Zealand, we have, and I'll get the exact number, I think it was 9 or so, just get the exact number on a ventilator, 8 people, one in ICU, apparently only one in ICU at the moment, 8 people in hospital, something like that. So we only have, on average, we have less than one person in hospital per district health board, like per hospital. And we're still, and we extend, and but the propaganda was so good that the lockdown has to be extended, else there'll be riots to keep the lockdowns.
So they'd break lockdown to continue the lockdown.
Something ridiculous like that. Yeah, it's quite insane what's going on here. And the Treasury is only reporting that, like, we're losing, was it 40% of the economy, down 40% at level 4, by about 25% at level 3, and 10% at level 2. And all of that is just... that looks like nonsense from what I've seen out there, out in the streets, what we've seen in some other countries that are a little bit further ahead of us, that didn't even lock down that far. They're seeing a lot more than that. And we're not going to, you know, it's going to be a few more weeks, perhaps even a few more months before the true numbers come through, and things are going to get hit very, very hard. The number of job seekers in New Zealand has gone from 80,000 to 120,000 in the last 5 weeks. So that's gonna keep shooting up at that trend. You're gonna keep seeing an extra, 40,000 or 30,000 to 40,000 a month. Your commercial air travel has dropped from, to 0%. The traffic has dropped by 80%, which, I mean, is what you would expect with a full scale lockdown. But that's not just gonna go back up. Same thing with retail. Retail spending is down 30% to 40%, possibly, in many cases, and that will probably go back up a little bit, but it's gonna stay depressed for months at least.
Our Centrelink offices processed 500,000 job seeker claims since the lockdown began. Our Reserve Bank of Australia forecasts that unemployment will rise to 10%, and our national output will contract by 10%, and they've said that we haven't seen this since the Great Depression of the 1930s. And then there's also because we have got a somewhat fiscally responsible government in Australia.
Lucky you.
They're going to have to wean the public off all of these extra welfare payments, the JobKeeper and Job Seeker.
And I want to go, because you can't just get people back to work suddenly. And that's where we've got the government has set up a shovel ready jobs program, and they've had $100 billion worth of applications or something for a $50 billion shovel ready jobs program or whatever. So they're going to you have supposed infrastructure programs that are just ready to go.
And what if they're going through
sacred land? This is the same government that couldn't build houses. Yeah, well, this is the same government that couldn't build houses. I'm just like, oh no, this is going to be a disaster. So we shall see. They did efficiently get people's wage subsidy out the door, though. So there is a little bit of that going on where they are efficient at getting the wage subsidies out the door. If they're going to do helicopter money, which I suppose they're talking about in Australia, I mean, you've done a little bit of that already with the beneficiaries getting a few hundred dollars or $800, $850. They're talking about giving people free money, which of course is not truly free, as everybody watching will know. So the kind of the story, where they're really going with this is still unknown. Just talking big billions, lots of billions, right? Tens of billions here, 10 billion here, 20 there, 30 there, 50 there, 100 there. Those are the kinds of numbers that are being thrown around.
And people such as you and I, we have basically a convulsion where we hear the spending announcement and we're sort of like, we're going to have to pay for it eventually, either exactly. Pay for it or just print more money.
Yeah. So and if you print more money, you steal it from everybody's bank accounts and their wages, and you whether it's actually going to cause inflation in terms of what we're seeing in the prices, who knows? Because all kinds of weird factors will be at play. We could even see what they would say deflation, at least in terms of economic output. We'll definitely see deflation there, but we will see a massive inflation of the money supply, with quantitative easing being done, and we see huge numbers of national debt that are all going to have to be paid back as well. And those are all of the ugly things that usually are not really discussed until it's too late.
It would be worth those in charge of finances in New Zealand to read that book behind you if they're allowed to buy it, Economics in One Lesson, yes. By Henry Hazlitt.
I was going to ask the chat to see if they could spot it and tell me what it was, but there we go. We did ask last week about Tim's books, and I did say I would stick a book on my bookshelf, so... I will have a mystery book on there every show, and this week The Appropriate Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. And yes, whether you can still buy it remains to be seen, because while we finish talking about the government books and how they're going to get cooked, we do have to talk about real books in New Zealand, because the Australians will love this. The non-essential books have been banned from sale as the schools sort of open for home learning. They let the bookstores open to sell books to, needed for educational purposes.
Only online delivery.
So so you can't go to the stores, but you can order them online and they will be delivered to you. But you're only allowed to deliver essential books. So you ask yourself, what's an essential book? And the answer is that books that are non-fiction, books that are fiction are non-essential. So the non-fiction books you can generally get delivered. That means you end up, unless it's on the state-approved reading list for children. So if you want to order The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, it's a fiction book, but you can still get it delivered. So you can still buy The Hobbit. But if you'd like to buy one of those other books, such as, I suppose, like the Silmarillion or something like that, or The Lost Tales, then that's a non-essential book, and so you can't buy that and have it delivered.
Even though this is... Because the whole point of these containment measures is how by fiction books are they more likely to, you're more likely to get coronavirus from it.
Yes, so that is the ruling apparently that has been made, is that it's too risky to buy fiction books, and it also means that other stores that are open selling other essential goods, so say. Mighty Ape is open because they sell various electronics that are essential because people are working from home and need to buy electronics. But it means that they're, for some reason, they sell games as well, like gaming items. So if it counts as a gaming item, they can sell it. But it means that if you want to buy a Dungeons & Dragons adventure book, you can buy a Dungeons & Dragons adventure book. But their fiction section of their website is disabled. You can't buy the fiction books.
A bookshop could actually be arrested and charged if they sold this book of fiction, or is it non-fiction now?
I checked the Whitcoles website for you, Tim. It says here, it says right here, I can read it, I'll read the message out to people. 1984, this non-essential item is available to purchase. However, any order that includes non-essential items cannot be delivered until the level 3 lockdown is in effect. So as of today, still, you cannot have 1984 delivered because 1984 is apparently still fiction, Tim. So you're out of luck there. I did check everybody's favorite book that Wirt Cole sells, because we know that we've talked about them before, where they don't sell Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life, but they do sell Mein Kampf. So if you've ever needed an essential book to read, you can get Mein Kampf delivered to your doorstep by Wirt Cole's, just in case you were wondering. But you can't get non-essential, non-important books like 1984.
Has some local anti-defamation council complained about that? Because we have the, based here in Melbourne, the Anti-Defamation Commission, its chair, Davir Abramovich, he's constantly triggered that you can still purchase Mein Kampf. He's petitioning Dimex and Amazon Australia to not sell it. He's not concerned about the coronavirus at all, just that you can buy this historical book.
As far as I know, there hasn't really been a real protest against buying historical books in New Zealand, especially the very controversial ones. Obviously, I mentioned Mein Kampf, but other ones like the Communist Manifesto and the Anarchist Cookbook and all kinds of stuff is apparently still on sale and perfectly fine.
The Anarchist Cookbook.
Yeah, it's the one about making bombs, I think. I wouldn't know because I haven't bought it because I'm not an actual anarchist, but I do know that came up for discussion at one point and you can still get it. Our chief censor will ban books that are supposedly very, very harmful. But none of these historical works tend to meet that criteria. So,
has Jacinta been asked about this at a press conference?
Not to my knowledge, no.
They're not doing their job then?
They're not really, no. When I say that she's been complaining about hard questions, it's not like what we would consider hard questions. Those are just normal questions. The question she's used to getting, when I was watching 2 days ago, 3 days, it was more than that, but the days are blurring together, it was more like 3 or 4 days ago. The question she was getting was like, how do you feel about whatever? How hard was it to make the decision to do whatever? So those are the kinds of questions that she gets at the press conference.
Well, that's the questions that our Prime Minister also gets, and he answers them. Scott Morrison was asked by Paul Murray on Sky News about how hard it was, and he talked about the restrictions he had to place on funerals to 10 people, and you sort of choked up a bit. And he didn't mention this.
Oh, you've got 10 people, Tim. We have zero here.
Oh, so they just chuck them in the coffin or in the crematory?
Yeah, they chuck them in and they film it. They film it for you, and they'll send you a video.
Oh, well, at least they're doing a bit more courtesy, like unlike another regime, which basically used to do that.
So yeah, that's it. Yeah, if she doesn't change her mind, then starting essentially Monday, which obviously is a public holiday because Anzac Day is tomorrow, but starting Monday, probably Tuesday, you in level 3, you can get, we're a lot closer to Australia's restrictions then. Not quite as lax, but we're getting a bit closer. So.
And schools, Scott Morrison today made crystal clear that the social distancing measures in indoor venues do not apply to schools, because the teachers' unions, they've been desperate not to let their workforce go back to work, because they say that even though the medical advice has never said that children shouldn't be at school, the teachers' unions say, oh well, we might say that, but we can't practice the physical distancing. And because we're a federation, and the labor states such as Victoria and Queensland basically kowtow to the teachers' unions. They're the, mm-hmm. the states that don't have a start date for back to school. New South Wales, Northern Territory, and WA do. But it's a really weird thing that the teachers' union, they want some parents to sort of get used to homeschooling. That's a pretty dangerous thing.
I'm not really sure if they're too worried. I've seen numbers in the UK that only a third of children are attending their online schooling sessions. I mean, here in New Zealand, I think it's, I don't, it's going to really depend on the region and the school, but most of it is the online learning is the teachers are still teaching, and a lot of the parents are either trying to work from home or do other things. I haven't seen much evidence that they're necessarily worried at all about the children not getting anywhere or not learning anything, or getting ideas by being homeschooled. I think that effect it doesn't really play into their thinking. But I think it's a neat I think it's quite neat in that at least the sort of the in this crisis you've got essentially that mass homeschooling going on, and suddenly everybody's homeschooling. But I suspect there's actually not a huge amount of homeschooling going on beyond the people who are already doing some form of homeschooling, and people who parents who are normally supplementing their education and actually care and are involved in education. Those parents will be doing that the same as always. Parents that don't really care, that just sort of have school be daycare, like there's just babysitting their kids for them. Those parents are not going to care at all, and there's not. I don't believe there's going to be. I've not seen any evidence of a drastic change. Although it would be nice if there were. Like, I really would like that. But
Can I ask what you're going to do post the coronavirus with your children's education? Obviously, you've got a trad wife in the lovely Amy, so.
We've got a local Christian preschool that usually the kids the two oldest ones go to for a couple of days a week, and we've got a Christian private school not too far away that we were planning to be involved with and send the children there. So that's sort of the plan there. The kids preschool is basically the schools can open here in New Zealand starting next Thursday or Friday. I'm just gonna might as well get the right date for everybody. No, it'll be next. Yeah, I think it's next. Yeah, it's next Thursday and Friday. So the schools will be able to open in New Zealand, but the classrooms are limited to about 10 children, and it can only be year 1 through to 10. And priority is for children of parents who are working, but it's largely voluntary. And we've seen in the local preschool that of the 25 to 30 they normally have, only four children actually the parents of four children expressed interest in their children going back to school. And that's something I suspect you're going to see everywhere. So like I said, the whole stay at home thing has worked so well that people nobody wants to go back. Or not nobody, but apparently very few people. So
And I assume the Christian school that you send your children to is 100% cultural Marxism free.
oh yes, for sure. Very, very strictly culturally Marxist free. Keep a close eye on that. So I've seen here in the comments also some people saying their kids' preschool staying closed, etc. So yeah, that's the thing. It's voluntary. Schools are supposed to open or allowed to open, and plenty of them are just saying they're staying closed for another couple of weeks. But there are ones who want to do that, so who want to open. And in this case, like I said, that we know these the women who run this preschool, and they're quite keen to get back to doing things, and anybody who wants to come back can go back. And it looks like it's going to be an incredibly small bubble anyway, so quite keen on that. So it's quite strange to see the way that people's behavior has been altered. And again, coming back to what we were saying earlier, changing that back is going to be hard. It's going to take a long time. They've successfully reprogrammed everybody, and now they're going to want them to go back to their normal economic consuming activities. And suddenly, people are going to say, "Eh, you know what? I'm just going to stay and sit here."
What about you with your work? Are you going to go back?
Yeah, and I'll probably go back. I'd like to. I'm enjoying the working at home more, and I used to do a bit of working at home anyway. So I'm definitely keen to do more of that now. Actually, I'm quite enjoying it, and it depends. People say, "Is it more productive, less productive?" It actually varies a bit, I find, for myself and the work that I do. Sometimes you can get more done in the office. Sometimes you can get more done at home. It really depends day to day. It's more dependent on what you're doing, really. So, I don't see that as a big deal. And obviously, I'm working in an industry that's not really going to be hit too hard by this. At least it's not looking like it. So, I'm not too worried, and I know that you're in a similar situation as well. But I'm really worried about all the other people who are going to suffer, and I know a few of them who know that you know they're basically out of a job, and they're really worried and upset. And obviously, you have all the people who are saying, "Oh, no, this is great. You know, let's keep everything. You know, everything's fine." And many of them are going to suffer. They just don't see it yet. I think that's something that's just going to end up being, you know, the people's eyes are going to be opened. They're going to be in for a very rude awakening. A lot of people.
Diana sent through another super chat for $10. Thank you so much for the second super chat. They've left a comment this time. Yo, only seen a few episodes. Good stuff. Thank you very much. Would you say it is both more libertarian or conservative and based with cults?
I'm definitely conservative, and you're definitely more libertarian, right? That's what makes the show interesting.
Although you're not a massive sort of prohibitionist, though. I know that the Groypers, for example, Nick Fuentes, are like, yes,
I like the Groypers.
Yeah, they're like ban porn.
Ban alcohol, right? Ban everything. No, I like that stuff. I'm not really, I don't think there's necessarily. I think there are deeper issues that I like to focus on. From a meme warfare perspective, from arresting people, you know, getting people's attention, they like that stuff. I think that the deeper cultural, social issues that we have, and going back to the earlier super chat that we had, especially around Christianity and people's salvation and the way that people's the things that people value, the way they see the world, their relationship with God, that's actually going to be is actually a far deeper issue. And yeah, you can run around being more openly conservative, or as they say, or prohibitionist, where you know, ban this and that and the other thing, which is likely not going to get anywhere at this point, except for get some attention and some traction. So they're using it well, I think. But I'm definitely more on that side, and you're definitely not more on that side.
Well, as we're seeing at the moment with the social restrictions and house arrest, if you propose banning something, translate that to it means that the government police forces have got the power to enter your house with guns to stop you doing that banned activity, even though it's a victimless crime.
Yeah, well, that depends on which victimless crimes or how victimless some of these crimes are, because
I'm talking about a lot of these things consuming about pornography. Yeah. I'm talking
but as the industry, right? If you're talking about it as the industry. Itself, exploits a lot of people. There's a lot of sex trafficking that goes on, and various other crimes that go on inside that industry. And you could make similar arguments for social damages on drugs and alcohol and various other bits and pieces, which we won't go into on the show. But the argument is not necessarily somebody doing something themselves is necessarily victimless, but the flow on effects and so on have victims. So that's. That's the argument.
Before we end the topic of non-essential books and works of fiction, Malcolm Turnbull's memoir, how he remembers things, A Bigger Picture, there's been a piracy scandal with it because one of Scott Morrison's senior advisors, Nico Liu, I'm not sure if he was the distributor of it, but he was one of the first people to have a copy of this pirated copy of Malcolm Turnbull's book, where it's being distributed to 59 people in the I'm not sure if they're all political staffers, just sort of political hacks in the Morrison circle. And the publisher, Grant Hardy, has got a list of them all and is going after all of them for compensation. They've already got a settlement from Nicola Liu for this act of piracy and theft. Malcolm Turnbull said, you wouldn't steal 59 copies of a book from from Dimix. It sort of reminds me of that that old ad, that anti-piracy ad. You wouldn't steal.
It's the first thing that came into my mind too.
You wouldn't steal.
You wouldn't steal a hand.
Prime Minister's memoirs.
I could say to Malcolm Turnbull, don't worry, I wouldn't even pirate it.
I wonder what the settlement they reached with this advisor. What is it, 3 cents or something?
That gets difficult, yes. Because... It's not actually available to buy yet, right? Just to get complete clarity on that, it's kind of...
Oh, it has been released now. You can order it from... We don't have that insane book ban. Such as yours, so we can order
fiction book is banned, right? So you can't get his book in New Zealand, sorry.
Well, that would be an interesting... if one of your press corps there was totally based and red-pilled, they'd ask that question of Jacinta.
Yeah, I'm afraid, I suspect she's not showing up for any more press conferences before Tuesday, likely, which is when the book ban will theoretically be lifted. And so, you know, then she won't have to answer the question anymore.
Everyone's already predicting, and it's been posted in the chat here, that Malcolm Turnbull's memoir in a few months will be available in the toilet paper aisle.
It's actually usually quite often what happens. So,
well, in publishing, there's this.
Him, by the way, with our previous conversation there, I'm just reading. I'm being criticized by people as well for not being right wing hardcore trad conservative.
Because I didn't think that porn should be banned.
Yeah. Mm. So, although it triggered some people the other way too now, so that's fine. We've set the chat room on fire, so we can carry on with the next subject.
Yeah, it's a hot topic to use a mainstream media term.
Yes, very good. So we're gonna. I've got here. We could get into the sort of the oopsie moments of the segment of the show. We're getting close to the end too, so that works well. So you go first, Tim.
We've got a sports update because we've had both Rugby Codes. Their CEOs have been canned. You would know. Oh, she's one of your citizens. The Rugby Australia.
One of my spies. Traitors.
Raylene Castle, former CEO. Now she resigned late last night. Because she said that Rugby Australia board no longer had confidence with her. Everyone will know her from the Israel Folau saga. She is on the left here. I refer to her as the goth chick. She hasn't got the black lipstick there that she normally wears there, but you can see the hair there. So she was the one who oversaw the termination of Israel Folau's playing contract. Then he sued for unfair dismissal. There was a settlement at the end of the year. Rugby Australia has got a $120 million revenue black hole. Their broadcast deal is in limbo because negotiations with Foxtel broke down on a rights deal. And the other guy there, the bald dude, Todd Greenberg, he was the NRL CEO. He resigned on Monday, basically because his relationship with the free-to-air broadcast partner, Channel 9, their CEO, Hugh Marks, broke down because he accused Greenberg of wasting their broadcast deal money on bloated bureaucracy and bureaucrats. So they're both woke CEOs. So they're...
get woke, go broke. Yeah. Yep.
Greenberg was the one that invited Macklemore to sing Same Love at the 2017 NRL Grand Final during the marriage survey.
Yeah. So, good riddance. Mm. In our New Zealand oopsie moment, we had the Labour MP Deborah Russell, who showed up on the one of the we have a pandemic committee because Parliament has been dismissed, of course. So we have a couple of MPs who chat about and sometimes with experts on certain topics. And this Labour MP Deborah Russell, she said that the reason perhaps that small businesses were failing were because you know, they hadn't saved up enough money and they weren't smart enough with their money to be able to survive a small setback, such as having the government entirely shut down your business for, you know, 5, 6, 7, indefinite weeks. And so businesses not being able to survive such a minor setback is what is responsible for them failing. And New Zealand is going to have very high unemployment because of that. As people have pointed out, the labor benches don't have anybody with business experience. Essentially, they've got nobody who's run a business. Most of them have been involved in politics all their lives, or they've been involved in public service. Put that in little air quotes. So that's the kind of attitude that you would expect from somebody who's never actually really worked a day in her life, or actually been involved in trying to run any kind of business, or pay employees, or on it goes.
The biggest non-coronavirus related story in Australia is quite a tragic one. On Wednesday evening, a Victoria Police Highway Patrol pulled over a Porsche that was speeding at a dangerous level, and they called for two police officers backup. And while they were arranging to impound this Porsche, a chicken truck crashed into all the vehicles, killing four Victoria police officers. The driver of the Porsche, Richard Pussy, he fled the scene on foot. Actually, took photographs of the horrific scene, and audio has been played in court now that he berated the dying officers for ruining his Porsche. And he was found at a chemist warehouse in Collingwood at 9:30 the next day. He's been charged the Porsche driver because they were at the side of the road, these police officers and this Porsche, for 50 minutes. So even though he's not the one that caused the accident, if they didn't need to be there for that long, those officers wouldn't have been in the path of that truck there. So he's been charged with driving at a dangerous speed, reckless conduct, endangering life, failing to remain after a drug test, failing to render his assistance, failing to exchange his details, possession of a drug of dependence, destruction of evidence, and three counts of committing a indictable offence while on bail. And it's been revealed that this, as people now call him now, Dick Pussy, he was featured on a Current Affair expose as a ripoff merchant a couple of years back. I'll just play you that ACA promo.
Get some more f***ing hands, you stupid f***.
This is Richie Rich. He could just be the nastiest customer in Australia. He hires you to work on his place, then finds fault with everything and doesn't pay you. He'll even abuse your sick wife for good measure.
That's disgusting behaviour.
A Current Affair tomorrow.
So this guy is basically probably the biggest sociopath you've ever come across. I mean, the fact that he berated a dying police officer for destroying his Porsche. He said, "I wanted to go home and just have sushi for dinner, and you wrecked my Porsche." So even the worst person that you've ever come across, this guy is worse.
Absolutely. I read the story a couple of hours ago today, actually, and I was just absolutely, absolutely shocked that you have someone that's that narcissistic, to say to a bunch of people who are dying, you guys ruined my car, it boggles your mind. And it's always these people. Like, it's no surprise that he's been involved in other incidents before, that he's got various the guy's got a rap sheet and owns a Porsche and whatever. It's absolutely unbelievable as to how these people are still allowed to go about. They're always let out. You've got soft judiciary, soft laws, and people like this just go around and hurt more people. Right? Somebody like him, you could say however long they put him in prison, he's going to come back out and he's going to go and do a similar thing and ruin people's lives and we're engaged in this kind of activity which directly, well, you could say indirectly, or probably rather more directly, resulted in four deaths. Absolute worst.
I know
human
that
garbage.
The police prosecutors, well, they've already thrown the book at him. They'll want him to be locked up for as long as possible. But because he was not the one that killed the officers.
Yeah, exactly.
It was this...
Oh, yeah, they can't. He's not going to be gone for that long, right?
Yes, exactly.
He's going to get a couple of years, maybe. But, you know, if he's been had for ripping people off before and had various other charges that I can't quite remember now. Because he was out on bail anyway, is that he's going to keep doing it, right? So
the Victoria Police commissioners at press conference over the past 2 days, they've said, I wish I could use more colourful language. They've had to be very restrained in what they've said. But the man who drove the truck into these police cars, killing the officers, his name was Mohinder Singh Bajua. He was driving a chicken truck. He was described as having a medical episode. Police haven't been able to interview him yet. He's still in hospital under police guard. The Daily Mail, they've reported in the last couple of hours that allegedly a ice pipe was found in his truck. That's what they've reported, the Daily Mail, in the past couple of hours. But it's sort of like a medical episode. What sort of is that? And if you're driving a truck, a huge chicken truck like that, I mean, you've obviously you can't have people driving trucks who've got medical conditions.
Exactly,
so that's the other half of it there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It sounds like very possibly they could both be rather undesirable people. Mm. But you know, I suppose the best you can really hope for is that their names and their faces, you know, at least of the one guy, perhaps both of them, are out there, so that when they get out of prison soon enough, that enough people know what scum they are, that they're unable to go about their normal lives.
And I'll mention the Victoria police officers who did lose their lives in that crash. Senior Constable Kevin King, Constable Glenn Humphrey, Senior Constable Lynette Taylor, and Constable John Pretzny. So they were the four officers. It's the most horrific police loss of life in a single incident in Victoria in over more than 100 years. You have to go back to the 19th century.
Yes, wow, yeah. We seem to have a couple of once in a 100 year events happening recently. That's quite extraordinary, yeah.
We'll finish off now. Yeah. Obviously, Anzac Day Eve. We've got no physical services taking place in Australia. It's all going to be virtual, live stream from the Shrine of Remembrance in Melbourne and War Memorial in Canberra. Everyone's encouraged to go to their front driveway, light a candle, lay a wreath either at their driveway or on their front porch to pay their respects.
I've got a similar sort of situation in place here in New Zealand. Stand at your driveway has been encouraged. I've seen various reports of people who are going to go for a walk to their local their local memorials and I suppose, you know, stand around there for you know, to pay their respects and so on, because this is actually the second year in a row in New Zealand that Anzac Day has largely been cancelled. Last year, there were a lot of restrictions, or at least extra vigilance in place, with many smaller events being cancelled because of the, you know, previous Christchurch terror attacks the month before. It was a more subdued affair then, and this year essentially completely cancelled. So it's quite a, it's a sad situation, and the the remembrance will go ahead, and if everything is well, things will be back to normal, whatever normal is, next year. But you could have said that last year as well. So things change and things like this happen, and quite suddenly. Yeah.
We've just passed the top of the hour, so we'll wrap it up now because there is another premiere going on right now. Logan Spalding, who's a local Melbourne Patriot, he's premiering the first episode of his show, and then at 7:30 Melbourne time, Matty Rose from XYZ, he's got his internet working again, so he's going to be doing a Matty Rose live solo stream as well. So a big Friday night ahead in the, I guess we call it, Tasman alt media lineup.
That's right. And if you are looking for more of my content, you can find it on rightminds.nz. You can also go there and contribute, rightminds.nz/donate. My writings also appear on thebfd.co.nz. Myself have been super busy the last couple of weeks, haven't been doing very much writing at all. Actually found life to be more busy during the lockdown. Many other people saying they don't have much to do, but for me it's quite the opposite. And thank you very much for your support. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you for the super chats as well. You've got your last 60 seconds to get one in if you still want. And with that, I suppose we haven't really had any particularly positive news this show. This week, that happens sometimes, so we shall see you all next week, and perhaps things will be slightly brighter.
Yep, see you then. I'll be back for Wilms Front on Monday evening, but I encourage everyone to go over to Logan Spalding's channel now, and I'll go straight to watching it. So good night, everybody. Have a good weekend. Stay safe health-wise and from the government, as I say at the end of every show.
Yes, agreed. Thank you, everyone. See you next week.